where we have the Word of God in our text, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. So far then, the reading of God's holy word and also the reading of our texts. Our congregation, I have thought about this baptism service, and I thought that perhaps it would be good that I would not get into great details in terms of teaching of baptism. Very important, and no doubt our young people are being taught this in catechism classes and confession of faith classes, but I thought it would be good for also your new pastor coming up that he would teach you the details of baptism. And no doubt many of you, if not all of you, know already why we baptize infants. But I do think, especially in view of the fact that we have a new set of parents here, and because of that, I thought it might be good if through the preaching of the Word, we, the Word of God, could address parents and grandparents also as well. And so, I have as theme then the following: a word of God to parents. In the first place, it's a blessing to be parents. Secondly, it takes talents to be parents. And then thirdly, there is grace available for parents. Now, congregation, it is true, and I hope all of you agree with that, it is a blessing to be parents. We have read already from Psalm 127 and verse 3, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. It is a reward that we have little Nico here. It is a reward from God. Children are visual proof that the Lord wants to continue with us. And he wants to continue with his covenant promises to us from generation to generation to generation. Children are therefore a visual proof that the Lord wants to continue on with us. And this is the reason, then also, why the Lord God has given us children. Children are a reward. They are the gifts of the Lord to us. And remember this, boys and girls, young people. You are gifts from God to us, parents and grandparents. Now, I must confess that this is not really how the world thinks about this. One of the dilemmas which the world faces today is the cry of unwanted, unloved, and abused children. The world doesn't know what to do with children or how to cope with children, and therefore it has but one easy but terrible, terrible answer: abortion. Now, consider this. Children are a heritage of the Lord and a reward, a gift from the Lord. But at times, even church people find this somewhat problematic. Sure, ask a childless couple in church what they think about children, and you will get to hear it from them, no doubt. Yes, children would be a great blessing to us. But the Lord has sadly withheld those blessings from them as yet. Sure, ask a young married couple whose arms are just aching to rock one of those little ones in their arms. And you will hear it from them, and that with a touch of longing in their voice. Ah, yes, children would be a blessing to us. But ask the average church couple who have received proof that they would not be childless if they can convincingly sing it along with Psalm 127, lo, children are a great reward, a gift from God in very truth, with arrows in his quiver stored, whose joys in children of his youth. Can every Christian couple with children sing that with great sincerity? I ask this because the world very often has sown a fewer sour notes in that tune, And sad to say, also amongst church couples as well. In Christian circles too, there are a growing number of couples who prefer to go childless for a while so that their careers will not get messed up, so that the house, the farm, or the second car can be paid off first. Children, oh yes, yes, they are a blessing, but thank you, we'll receive them when we have more time for them, when we are ready for them. Have you ever thought, if you ever think that way, I hope not, but have you ever thought that the Lord might not be willing anymore to give you those blessings because you were not ready at that time, at the beginning? Now I leave that for your prayers and considerations. Each couple must therefore act responsibly in receiving and also in waiting, in waiting. But let it always be done prayerfully, dear people. And never, never, I underline that, never put off having children for selfish reasons. Because you are opening the door then to the influence of the world, which denies that children are a heritage and a blessing and a gift from God. We must never, ever lose sight of the fact that children are a heritage, that they are a blessing, and that they are a gift from God, even if we cannot have any. We must never lose sight that it is a blessing, therefore, to be parents. Well, my second point is that it takes talent to be parents. This brings us closer to our text, Proverbs 22, verse 6, where it says, train up a child in the way he should go. Now, it takes talent to train up children, and it takes plenty of talent for that. Young people, you who someday hope to be fathers and mothers, parents, I must tell you, it takes talents to be parents and to be good, godly parents. Remember this, young people. This is why, boys and girls, young people, it is so necessary that you do well in school, that you get yourselves a broad education and a Christian education. And we can be thankful to the Lord that this is available to all of you, I would think. That goes for the young man, but I dare say that goes even more yet for the young woman. Even, and here I'm addressing the young women, even if you have no inclination at all for a career in the outside world, but plan to get married and hope someday also to raise children, you need a good Christian education. You do. You need a good Christian education. Becoming a parent, and especially becoming a mother, requires a multitude of talents which is cultivated through a good education and through the studies of the Word of God. And let me now first say something about mothers then in particular. Now, it's not Mother's Day, but I think we can handle this nevertheless. Being a mother is as much a career, if not more of a career, than an out-in-the-world kind of career. It's certainly more demanding and certainly more talent-requiring career to be a mother. Someone once said that a mother must be a doctor, a nurse, a psychologist, a teacher, a minister, a cook, a policeman, and a fashion coordinator, and sometimes all at the same time. Now that takes talent. That takes talent. And mothers, let no one ever tell you that this is not a career. You know it is a full-time career, sometimes 23 hours a day. A mother's talents are employed already at a very early age, even before the child is born. Such a mother knows that she must take good care of her health because she knows that her health will affect her child. She must take good care also over her spiritual life because she knows that her disposition, her character, her moods, and her habits will affect the child which she is carrying, for the good or for the bad. A mother's love, a mother's devotion to the Lord, and her prayer life is crucial for her child. She's a priestess to that little bundle of life that she is carrying. She always commending it to the care of the Lord, that her child may develop well inside of her, that it may at early moments already fear and love the Lord. Mothers, you see, mothers are the closest between the unborn child and the Lord. Mothers, expecting mothers, and you will hope, you who hope one day to be an expecting mother, what opportunities you have for doing well for your child, for your child. What talents you may already employ even before your child is born. Take Hannah from the Old Testament as your example. Mighty in prayer before her child Samuel was even born. Take Elizabeth from the New Testament as your example, how she communicated about her child to Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus. God-fearing mothering began long before the child began. It requires God-given talents, therefore, to be parents. And so our text says, train up a child in the way he should go. Now, the words train up can also be translated as catechize, meaning to ask questions and to draw out answers. It means to instruct by word, but especially to instruct by example. Literally means teaching by repeating after me. That's what catechism means. Now, parents, this requires all of your God-given talents to train up your children with just one goal in mind, that your child will come to know, that your child will come to love the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, there's something else yet that needs to be said about this little word, to train up. The Jews in the Old Testament times used this word also to mean to dedicate. And this is what Solomon, for instance, did to his beautiful temple. He dedicated it to the Lord. He trained it up for the Lord. Now, this is also the work of parents, you see. It is dedicating work, training up children. Your goal should be, therefore, that your children should come to know and to fear and to serve the Lord. Now, this is what Hannah also could do with her young child, Samuel. She dedicated him to the Lord. And one day, she returned him to the Lord and to his service so that he could be active in the Lord's service. And dear parents, is this already how you have understood your role as a process of dedication of your child to the Lord? From an early age on, even before birth, prayer for your child, and then gradually also with praying with your child as well, and speaking with your child about the things of the Lord. How important that is. How important that is. Mothers have, by nature, such wonderful talents, I must say, for that. When a child is still very young, to speak of the things of the Lord in very simple ways, tender, loving ways, and that at a very impressionable time of the child. Mothers, do not let those precious moments escape from you. they'll fly by fast enough. And those impressionable moments will never return for your child. Later on in life, you'll wish that those impressionable moments could return again for you. And some of our older folk will know what I mean by that. And then the fathers, of course. You, too, come into the picture as your child begins to grow. You could say that you are, therefore, the helpmeet to your wife in dedicating the work of your child. Fathers, I ask you, do you speak to your children? Yes, you heard me correctly. Do you speak to your children? Do you communicate with them? And that from an early age, right on into teenage years and beyond that. Do you communicate with them about the things of life, but also about the things of the Lord? Fathers, parents, always speak positively about these things. Here's a word of caution, if I may. Do not let your children hear your criticism of the Lord's ways, or of the Lord's service, or of the Lord's servants. You see, kids have the natural habit to close their minds when you are lecturing them about this or that. But they have their ears and their minds wide open when they hear you criticize the Lord and His service. Before long, they will join in with you and usually go one step further yet. Sad to say, but some children have actually left the church because parents, and especially fathers, have not often spoken positively about the Lord and His service. It's a hard word to say, isn't it? But it's a painful reality that I have faced time and time again as a pastor. Some young people have actually turned away from the church because they have been trained up by a father who is always very quick to criticize what happens in the church. And such young people, they know nothing else but that church business cannot be trusted and that many church people are hypocrites. Fathers, may I urge you, and for the sake of not losing your children, speak to your children about the Lord and about His service, and always in a positive way. And then start with that at an early age of theirs. Start at an early age. The mother, your wife, she will show you how to speak simply to your children. She's good at that. But always speak positively, never critically, about the things of the Lord and His service. And so we have that word again, train up. Train up your children to respect and honor the Lord and His service. Again, I say that takes talents. Because sometimes you have good reason to be critical of what happens in the church. But such criticism, dear people, is no training up material for your children. Remember this as well. Children generally learn more from seeing than from hearing. Children by nature learn more by the eye than by the ear. Children by nature will more easily imitate what you do than obey what you tell them. Parents, therefore, this will take all of your God-given talents to speak for God and to live for God as examples to your children. I urge you to be good examples to your children. Show them what it means to love and to serve the Lord God. Conduct yourself uprightly, honestly, forgivingly, and patiently as well, because your children watch you far more than you think. Train up your children, mostly by example. Well, now you ask, what about discipline? Well, I cannot say too much about this, because each child is different, you see, which takes parental wisdom to see what kind of discipline their particular child needs. Some need only a stern look to melt them into submission. Others kick the hand which spanks them and harden under such discipline. It takes wisdom to see what the child needs. But parents, here's another word of advice that I may give after many years of being a pastor. Please, please agree with each other on how you are going to discipline your child. No matter what kind of discipline you want to use, it will fail miserably if father and mother cannot agree or disagree with each other what kind of discipline should be used. And therefore, be together in your manner of discipline. Be consistent in this as well. Do not threaten and then not carry out your threats. And when it comes time to discipline, never ever do so in anger, because you will hurt your child and you will hurt yourself. Discipline is necessary at times, we know this. And when it is necessary to tell your children that you are to discipline them, that you do it in love and you don't do it in anger. And again, that takes wisdom. Let the Lord God himself then be your example in this. He chastens, but not according to our sins, because the Lord our God is merciful, gracious, slow to anger, and plentiful in mercy, so we are told in Psalm 103. And therefore, dear parents, show your children great willingness to forgive. To forgive. In that way, your actions will be, as it were, a sermon about the Lord who forgives the guilty. And that will be profitable to you, definitely. There is something else yet, which I must say from our second text. Train up a child in the way he should go. Now, we know which way a child should go. We know that, don't we? Towards the Lord and dedicated to the Lord. But that does not mean that every child must become like Hannah's child, a prophet of the Lord. Not every child needs to become a minister or an office bearer or a mission worker. Therefore, do not try to put your child in a mold that you would like, but in which your child does not fit in. It will take spiritual wisdom, you see, to discover the suitability of your child for his or her life. And this is why our text also says, train up a child in the way he should go. That is, in the way God has made your child capable of going. And this means that if your daughter, for instance, has a great desire and suitability to become a nurse, or a teacher, for instance, then be thankful for that and don't force her into another mold. But no, now, as we think about the wisdom which is needed to be good parents, to be God-fearing parents, it is not surprising when the thought rises up in us, am I even a suitable parent? What kind of parent have we been? I've asked that myself, Azil. 7 children, 21 grandchildren, what kind of a parent have I been? What have I done with my children as well? Now, some of us have thought, well, we've done our best, and yet our child has turned away from the Lord and away from church. How sad. What answer can I give to you, dear parents, who have lost one or more of your children to the world? Now, we cannot turn the pages back. Some of our children are beyond reach of our words, but they are not yet beyond reach of the Lord God. You see, the Lord is waiting to hear from you about your wayward child. Let me therefore speak thirdly yet. There's grace available for parents. There is grace available for hurt and sorrowing parents, for fearful and for overwhelmed parents, rather. The Lord does not leave us to fend for ourselves, dear people, in how we should raise our children. You see, children are a heritage of the Lord. They are His gifts, and for no other reason than to magnify His covenant promises to us. And therefore, the Lord leaves us also with a covenant promise, a great covenant promise even. Our text, Proverbs 22, verse 6, is an example of it. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, parents, this is a covenant promise which the Lord wants us to become busy with. He wants us to become busy with. The Lord, even more yet than you and I, wants to see these promises continued in the life of your children, your child. There is grace available for parents, and it is available through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord wants to see. He wants to ask you. He wants rather to see that you ask Him for His grace. He is waiting to be called upon, even at this moment. Because it is a saving Lord Jesus Christ who knows what parents need and who knows what parents require. His salvation, after all, is such a great salvation that even faltering parents can find their hope, can find their trust, can find their consolation, and can find their comfort in Him, through faith in Him. And so, parents, your opportunities might be past. You see nothing but impossibilities for you and your children or grandchildren in the present. But your impossibilities become great opportunities for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is, after all, the Savior of the lost. Therefore, let your lives be an open book to your children and to your grandchildren, even to the ones who have left the church and left the Christian religion. You might not be able to say a word to them anymore, but you can show them in your life that you love and serve the Lord, and you have never regretted it. And so let all your children read it on you. I trust you understand what I mean. Let all your children read it on you, that you love the Lord, and that it is your desire to serve Him with words, more often even with deeds. And one of the things, words or examples, may still be used as it pleases the Lord our God to bless you and to bless your children. Pray. Praying parents. After all, when I think of the great theologian Augustine, who was a terrible young man, immoral, away from God, from His word, what made him into a powerful theologian? The prayers of his mother. Amen.